I'm very happy to be back. It's always good to be able to sleep in my own bed. But it's profoundly disorienting, these kind of trips. I guess anytime you cross the date line, it just is very disorienting. I've only been in the country about 10 hours, and I've already asked 3 times, what day is it? I can't get it straight. It's Wednesday already. It's one thing to say, what time is it? That's a common question, but what day is it? Makes me think of when Sister Barbara was in her weekend condition, and the caregivers every morning when they woke her up, they would say, "Good morning, Sister Barbara, it's Wednesday." They would, you know, make it clear what day it is. And if a person already knows what day it is, that's almost insulting to tell them what day it is. But when you don't know, boy, is it really, it's a great thing to have someone tell you what day it is and ground you in the reality. Well, my mind is a little bit scattered naturally since I just arrived. In fact, I got here to Anuem, it was already past midnight, which means that I completely missed the opportunity to offer Mass on the great Feast of the Visitation. It was yesterday. I missed opportunity to offer Mass on the 65th anniversary of Father Francis's ordination to the priesthood. I was happy to see that he was still wearing his stole. Because I didn't even enter the chapel last night when I arrived. So it's good. I mean, if we can't honor Father Francis in this place, well, then we're doing something wrong. Now, as I say, it's disorienting to be traveling, but, and usually what I say when I'm a little disoriented is I say, well, we ground ourselves in the liturgy. The liturgy is what keeps us on track. And if ever we don't know what to think about or what to pray about, or what to do, we turn to the Word. But I had a funny experience over the past few days because of the liturgy being different in different places. Maybe you've heard this, but last Thursday, I was in New York. And in New York, they celebrate the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord on Thursday, the traditional day. So we had a big liturgy honoring the Ascension of the Lord on Thursday. I was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning. Then on Saturday, I traveled down to New Jersey. And in New Jersey, they celebrate the Ascension on Sunday. So Saturday evening, when we pray the first evening prayer, Vespers 1 for the Sunday, I realized I already prayed this 3 days ago, and it's the same. And then Sunday morning, I got up and joined Father Charles for a Mass, and it was Ascension again. So I had 2 ascensions, but no visitation. Now, the Lord provides, though, because in order to keep us united, He gives us the novena to the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't change, no matter what the liturgical schedule is. And I had a beautiful experience so far of the novena because of my travels. So today is already the 6th day. I just want to share this. It's not just my personal experience. I think it also shows us something about how the Holy Spirit unites us and how we are made one, as Jesus prays in today's gospel. So the first day of the novena was Friday. I was at the House of Prayer in Corning. Big chapel full of people. Everyone was happy to begin the novena. So that was the first day. We focus on the Holy Spirit. The second day, again, I was there in Corning, New York. And a chapel full of people, including a newly ordained deacon who served at the Mass and who helped lead the prayers of the novena. That was the second day, so we prayed for the gift of fear. And then I went down to New Jersey. So the third day, it was Sunday, and I was in the Anuem Chapel in New Jersey, and we prayed the novena. So that was Sunday. Now I'm confused again. Sunday, and we prayed for the gift of fear, holy fear. And then Monday, the fourth day, was the day I left. So I had a very early Mass, and then I was just packing up my things, and I was waiting for the car to come pick me up. And there was a little bit of time to wait for the car, so I said, well, we're all here, let's pray the novena. So the fourth day is the gift of knowledge. So we sat down in the chapel, and I read the intentions, and then the car pulled up. So I had to get in the car, and I didn't finish the novena with the community. I had to pray it on the plane. So that was the fourth day on the plane. The fifth day, I also, that was a understanding. Is that right? Yeah, I put the understanding, prayed that on the plane. So I had two prayers in Corning, a prayer and the beginning of another prayer in New Jersey, another two prayers, the finishing of the fourth, fifth day, or fourth day, and the whole of the fifth day on the plane. And now sixth day, and I'm in another Anuim center with another group of Anuim people praying the same novena, sixth day. And we pray for what? No, today's understanding. Today's understanding? I'm sorry if I confuse everybody. Counsel, no. What was just knowledge was yesterday. So knowledge is the spirit giving us understanding of the relative value of earthly things. That's knowledge in this list of the gifts. And understanding is understanding of heavenly things. So the novena is drawing us to let go of passing things and cling to what lasts. And that's a great reminder to us, especially when we're traveling through this world. We do not belong to the world. That's what knowledge tells us. We belong to God. That's what understanding tells us. We use the good things of this world, we appreciate them, but we don't cling to them. We belong to God, and so understanding makes us welcome and treasure heavenly realities, the things that are revealed to us by faith. So I'm happy to be able to, the novena is what we're all, everyone in the community and in the church, in a sense, is praying this same novena. We're united in prayer. We are all, no matter where we are in the upper room. We're in the cenacle. We're with Our Lady. We're praying with the apostles. We're praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're all doing. I'll share another little, and I think that's good for all of us to know, because you might be praying this novena alone, or maybe someone who's joining us online might be all alone. No one is alone. We are one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we are one with everyone who is united with them. When I entered the airport, it seems to me like it was yesterday, but it was actually Monday morning. Because of all the flight changes, I ended up going to JFK Airport in New York, which I'm not that familiar with, and I told the driver we were going to Terminal 1. I didn't think it was that important. And the driver told me there are 8 terminals at JFK. So you have to know the number. So, okay, so we were in Terminal 1. And when I got in and got into the line, there's some post-security and checking documents and whatnot. And there were 3 security officials there, all women. And they noticed I was a priest. And two of them for sure were immigrants, because I could tell by their accent that they weren't born in the United States. The third one, I didn't hear her voice. But anyway, one of them said, well, can you pray for me? And I said, sure. I thought she meant, pray for me as I go along. And the other one said, yes, bless us, Father, bless us. And then the three of them held hands. It's right in the middle of the airport. 3 security officials held hands and waited for me to say a blessing over them. It was really beautiful. So I got in my security line for the x-ray and all those things. And I remembered, my goodness, these women are just starting their work day. And they're going to be standing on their feet all day dealing with hundreds or thousands of people. And they got a blessing. And I was on my way. So I thought that was a beautiful sign of how the Lord works in the world. He reminds us that we are in the world, but we do not belong to the world. Again, that's part of Jesus' message. Now let's turn a little bit more to these readings. Both of these readings happen to have examples of saying goodbye. Paul saying goodbye to the elders in the church of Ephesus, and Jesus saying goodbye to the apostles. He's about to enter into his passion. Well, he's not saying goodbye. He's praying to the Father for the disciples before he leaves. And now I've had in the past several days lots and lots of goodbyes. It seems like that's half of what I do when I travel, to say goodbye to people. That's why I'm happy to be home. I don't have to say goodbye to anyone for a while. Anyway, what both readings remind us is, again, what is passing and what is enduring. Both of the readings mention the necessity of being grounded in the truth. Jesus speaks about being consecrated in truth. Paul speaks about those who, people who will come forward perverting the truth to draw disciples away from the truth. Now, we know how important this is in the world, how difficult it is to know the truth. The truth about earthly things, about who said what and who did what and which source is reliable. You know, the problem of fake news and social media campaigns that are not grounded in truth. We know this. But Jesus is talking about not truth of passing things so much as the truth that endures, the truth of God. When he says, I consecrate them in truth, he's really telling them and telling us, he's giving us his own life. Whenever we turn away from God, we are being drawn away from the truth. And whenever we turn to God, we are being drawn to the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The one that we're praying to and asking to come is the truth. This is what happens. Everything comes from the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. The gift, when we say, come Holy Spirit, we're asking the gift of the Father, the love of the Father and the Son, to be poured into us and to dwell within us, to reign in us. We're asking the gift of divine life to reign in us. We're not just asking for one gift or another. We're asking for the gift of God's own life, divine life. And that gift is greater than anything in this world. It surpasses any place we might be, anything we might do, anything we might hear or say. This is the truth of the deepest truth of reality is God himself. And God wants to dwell in us. So with those few thoughts, perhaps a little scattered, I hope to be consistent in joining you in prayer. And we can rely on the liturgy to keep drawing us into the mysteries of God with understanding, the gift of understanding. And we can rely on the Holy Spirit, to the Spirit of truth, to ground us in the truth that is revealed, the truth of God's own life.